That's another one you wrote, isn't it? I thought so. Not that it sounds amateurish. It is your style, but I thought it might be. And I hadn't heard it before, so I so I thought maybe it was. Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last two verses. I'll suck on this thing here. Maybe my voice will be okay. Got the coughing fit there. This is a very familiar passage. It's actually called the resurrection passage. Talks about Christ's resurrection. Talks about our resurrection. That's right. We will rise again. We don't have to live in this old body for eternity. We get a new one. I won't tell you again and bore you with the kind I want, but it's a lot better than this one. But anyway, do you realize because Christ rose, it kind of proves the power that he has over all heaven and earth. I mean, there's no more power than to take something that's dead and make it alive. I mean, that's the kind of the ultimate. But he created all the universe with his word, so that it's no problem for him to raise us from the dead. He created us in the first place. In him was life. That's where life comes from. If he can give us life the first time, give us life the second time. First time, along with giving us physical life, he gave us a soul, a mind, a will, emotions. But the soul now has been created. The soul is eternal, and it will spend eternity someplace, in some form or another. You're not going to be put into the ground, buried in the backyard like a dog, and then it's all over. We're human beings. And so that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, I want you to read here. It says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now he says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. If there's going to be a victory, it's going to come through the things of God. God raises kings, he puts them down. He gives armies strength to win, and he takes strength away. God can do anything he wants to do. He's the victor. And our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through us. It's through him. Now, in verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he's about ready to rebuke us a little bit here, and so he says, "Now, I love you, my beloved brethren, I'm going to tell you something here." And in fact, you know, the thing is, the people he was writing to in the church in Corinth, he knew them. He had been there, helped them establish their church. And so when he wrote to them, it was kind of pointed. And so it's easy for us to come to church and have the preacher just kind of preach to the crowd. And you say, well, that part wasn't for me anyway. That's for the guy, that's for Joe next door, you know, down in the other pew or whatever it is, you know. And we can kind of let all the rebuking kind of wash past us, you know. But the fact is, it's for us. So here he says, "Now I love you. Now I'm going to tell you something here. Now I don't want you to forget it. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now he didn't say hold the status quo. Didn't even say hold the fort. He said, listen, he says, "I want you to be abounding in the work of the Lord." Now, the work of the Lord may mean the church ministries. But the work of the Lord has a lot to do with how you serve the Lord with your own life. And a lot of that has to do with how you treat others, how you deal with your finances, your whole attitude toward life. He says, this. He said, and you know what, after a while, you do some things, you think, man, I've been trying to do right, and I've still got a lot of problems. He says, now, whoa, be steadfast. Unmovable. Steadfast means established in the faith, if you will. Steadfast in the work of the Lord, in doing what you're supposed to do, following God, asking God what you want, he wants you to do, and then doing it. Unmovable. See, well, I found out what I did it for a while, and you know, I wasn't so sure it was going to work, and so I kind of stopped, you know. And no, he said, unmovable. This is where we are. We don't move from it. Don't go wandering away. Always abounding. And that kind of gives the idea of superabounding. In other words, just giving all you have to it. You say, but why? I'm not seeing the results I want. It's in vain. He said, no. Your work of the Lord is not in vain. You're riding the circumstances. He said, stop riding the circumstances. Ride the plan of God. Yeah, you're going to feel speed bumps and dips and, you know, and there's going to be a few mountains we got to push through and so forth. But ride it out. Keep riding it, because in the end, it's not in vain. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament didn't necessarily end up victorious. Even Paul ended up with his head taken off. So then he didn't win. Oh, he won. Can you imagine when the Lord met him at the door in heaven when he got up there? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You fought a good fight. You kept the course. You finished the race. I didn't finish the race. I got killed. No, that's as far as the race goes. And when you hit the finish line, boom, directly to the winner's circle. Not the loser's circle, to the winner's circle. Let's have a word of prayer. And my theme this year comes from this verse, always abounding, it's not in vain. We'll get these banners up here real soon. You're going to see two phrases on it. Always abounding. It's not in vain. Don't give up on it. God's got something good for you. And even if we don't see what we want to see on this side of eternity, you'll see what you want to see on the other side of eternity. Well, that's a cop-out. Not if you really believe that there's another eternity on the other side. It's not, and because that's real. Always abounding, it's not in vain. Now today, I've entitled my message, The Key to Overcoming. The Key to Overcoming. So I got to get started here. We won't get finished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for a new year you've given us. We woke up this morning, and here we are in 2023. Who'd ever think it? Here we are, and Lord, you got a job for us to do, and so we need to not back down from it, but always be abounding in your work. And Lord, we may not see it right away, or even on this side of heaven, but we know that the work we do for you is not in vain. So Lord, help me be encouragement to our folks here, and put it in your hands in Christ's name, amen. So here we are, the first day of a new year. Often this is time is used to reassess our position in life and make adjustments and set goals for the next year. And this year is actually kind of special for Lighthouse Baptist Church. Not only are we beginning a new year, but we're beginning the 20th year of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And we had... His brother Lamberson had it for quite a few years, and when he retired from the church, and we just kind of started over again, and made a Lighthouse Baptist, and our folks said, "Why don't we just start our years here at that?" And so we did, and so we were at 20 years. Now, it's a time to reassess as we look back over the first 20 years, and a time to look forward to the next 20 years if the Lord tarries his coming. Now, I don't know how much longer it will be before the Lord comes back. No one does. However, I do see the day approaching. You can't help but see the day approaching. Our church and the assembly of believers should not allow the Word of God to be set aside as our lives become more complicated and the fight against ungodliness increases. You know, a lot of times we fight. You say, "Well, we've been fighting for 20 years." whoa! It's not in vain. We can't see where the end is, but it's not in vain. Hebrews 10:22 says this: "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering." You know, he's kind of implying here, you said you believed this 10 years ago. You said you believed this 25 years ago. You said you believed this 5 years ago. Don't wander off. Stay true and faithful to your profession of what you believe. If it came out of the book, it's still in the book. If it's still in the book, it's still true. If you got it from someplace else, then give it a little kick down the road and get rid of it. Right now, you should have done that years ago, probably. But if it's true, hang on to it. Don't change anything. So watch. Watch this. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." That's the purpose. "For he is faithful that promised." God said he would do it, and what he promises, he will do. And then he says, verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, here's the rest of the thought, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching." He says, the closer we get to the day of the Lord, the worse it's going to get. That is not a time to back up and start and reassess and go the other direction. He says, you had a profession. You believed it. But then things got a little bit tough. Don't get scared. You say, "Well, I'm not seeing the growth. I'm not seeing what I want to see." Don't give up. Hold your profession. So much the more as we see the day approaching. The answers to our issues are still Jesus Christ. That has not changed. The answers to our issues are found in the Word of God. That has not changed. So we listen, and then said, watch, it says, "Without faith, for he is behold," it says, "and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." You know the old adage, you take a coal of a wood coal out of the fireplace. Everybody burn their fireplaces these days, you know. You take that out, set it aside, and that coal will go out. Not long. Smokey the Bear says, before you leave, you're supposed to take your fire and stir it up and spread it around. Why? Because he knows that it will cool down. He also knows this. You leave them all together, they sit there and keep themselves going. We say, "Well, why is that?" I don't know, but you put the coals next to it. This one keeps this one warm. This one keeps this one warm. It's pretty handy at nighttime with my wife, too. But anyway, I keep her warm. She keeps me warm. You know what I'm saying? And the fact is, these Christians want to live out here all by themselves and say, "I can be a Christian." You're not going to be the Christian, the fired-up Christian that you can be if you're going to try to go on your own. Well, I've got Jesus, and that's good. And if you don't have anything else available, then that's where you go. "When mother and father forsake me, the Lord takes me up. But the fact is, he designed the church, the called out assembly, to assemble, to provoke one another to love and good works. Listen, you realize, when I hire staff, one of the things I tell them, this is one of the purposes of this church, because I want them to hear it. I said, one of our purposes of this church is to help our people reach their full potential in Christ. That's part of our job. It's not us to do some things so they can pat us on the back and say thank you. Or aren't you amazing? That's why when we do things, when I have people leading, I'm helping them to reach their full potential as they're helping other folks reach their full potential. The fact is, we get together, I need you. Boy, I needed you in early service. They're so quiet, they're asleep. Can you imagine the morning after New Year's Eve? Oh my soul. It's a different church. I love them. I mean, they're with me, but they have no response. You know, I tell a joke and it just. But I need you, but you need me. You need the person over here in this other pew over here. The seasoned saints needs Brother Hewitt. But you know what Brother Hewitt says? He says, I love my senior saints. I have so much fun with my senior saints. They're just a great, they just appreciate everything you do. And they do. I was down a couple days ago down at one of our assisted living nursing home facilities where a lot of our ladies are. We have four in there, two in particular said, you know, we have the greatest church. I said, we have the greatest. They didn't forget me. He says they show up here. They brought a flower in. They send me cards. And you're sitting in here all by yourself, you realize they didn't forget me. You say, well, all I did was go in and say hi. Listen, you just don't understand sometimes what a word of encouragement, a smiling face, a pat on the hand, or whatever it may be, you know, a Snickers bar, you know. Really, you can sneak a Snickers bar in there, you know, and one won't hurt them. You know, get them the fun size. But we need each other. I'm wasting my time here. Now, we are not going to overcome the world, watch me, by abounding in the world. They say, well, I'm not making it here, so I just need a little bit more of the world, and then I'll get fixed. No. We are not going to be able to overcome the world unless we are determined to abound in the word of truth and with the heart, surrender and obey it. Let me give you number one. Got a long way to go here. The life and the ministry, if you will, seems to be getting more difficult as spiritual wickedness becomes increasingly prevalent. That's why he says we got to do this so much the more as we see the day approaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, and you've heard, I've read it too many times. This know also that in the last days, that's the last days for the days approaching, so we're in the last of the days, perilous times shall come. Why are they so perilous? Why do we have violence? Why do we have so much violence around the place here? Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Get away from that. No wonder you feel like everything's down on you. For of the sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they're not willing to believe the truth. They're not willing to obey the truth. They think they want truth, but then when it shows up on their door, they kick it off the stoop. I had a paper that I wrote a while back, it was several years ago, and it kind of came from a message I did, I think, on July 4th about why is our nation becoming so violent. Now, that was a couple years ago. Finally, the press and the media is starting to see it too. The violence is awful. And just unnecessary violence. Just walk up behind somebody, hit him in the head with a baseball bat. That's a Friday night activity. Push somebody in onto the rails at the subway. Just terrible stuff. You know why? They're mad at the whole world. Because they think the whole world should surround around them, and it's not. And they think everybody else is against them. And so it doesn't matter who you kill, because they're all against them. Might as well just knock one off. I'm serious. I believe that with all my heart. Just wicked, wicked, wicked. Self-serving. So why do we have those? Because they love themselves more than they love God. But that's where we are. The time will come, the Bible says, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you therefore, behold, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, serving self, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Well, why do I bother preach the word? Listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're doing it for the Lord, you're doing it the way he wants you to do it, and you're doing it in his power, it's not in vain. His word does not come back void. Now, I started to tell you, I wrote this little paper about how to deal with a violent society. And I thought back then, I thought about sending it to the mayor of York. And I know, you know, the thing is, you know, they've got everybody trying to tell them how to do things. And I don't know whether they believe me or not. The fact is, it has come to my attention again, and I don't know. I think that the police commissioner down there, head of the sheriff's department, I think he's a good man. He wants to do right. But we're not going to be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish if they're going to do it in their own power. You can't fight flesh with flesh. And I'm sorry, I don't care how many policemen you have on the force. Them trying to, with the power of their flesh, control somebody else's flesh is never going to be enough. There's got to be a certain fear of God or fear of authority in their own heart before it's going to change. I don't know whether he'd listen to me or not. I've been thinking I need to just make an appointment and go down there and see him and say, if you want to know the answer, this is the answer. Let me explain it to you. If you don't do this, don't expect it to work. If you want to do it, we'll help you. You ought to have a crusade on every corner of York City. There's enough vacant buildings down there that the town controls. We ought to be able to find some place to hold some meetings. I know there's several guys in our church would be glad to go down and preach a good gospel message. And from that little spark, maybe we could make a difference in York City. You know, if we could make a difference in York City, then we start making a big difference in York County, because then they would start listening. You start listening, and if we make a big difference in York County, eventually it may take some time, always abounding, but your work's not in vain. You make a difference in our state. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing one of these days where the media gets on TV, the national media gets on TV and says, we don't know what happened up to Pennsylvania there. Those people become religious freaks. Everything's about Jesus. But we have to admit that the crime rate has come down, abortion rates come down, murder rates come down. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? You see, we wrestle against we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Ephesians 6:10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this, principalities and rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. But what's the armor of God? The things that every Christian should have automatically. The shield of faith. Breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. Taking out the gospel to everyone. They're the things that we're all supposed to have. In other words, we're supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just say, well, there it goes. Oh, there's, look at that. Isn't it just terrible? The status quo is not going to do it. We need to be abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know what? Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, there's just really bad people out there. I know. 1 John 2, little children, is the last time. And as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out. They might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know these things. You know what we're talking about here. Don't give up. Abound in the work of the Lord. Let me give you number two very quickly. Times are getting worse and worse and worse. Evil is getting become more prevalent, more prevalent, more prevalent. Number two, greater is he within you than he that is in the world. That has not changed. It's an old cliche. A lot of people see it as a cliche. Yeah, well, we know greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we just kind of say it, and yet we don't live by that statement, which is, by the way, the word of God. No matter how mighty the powers of this world may seem to be, greater is he that is within you. 1 John 4:2 says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the word of in the world. Now watch this. Don't get mad at me. When's the last time you've heard our government stand up and say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we need to be following him? There are a few. There are a few. I know a few. We've had a few here to talk. I know that there are a few. But we didn't make a decision. This is where we are. So it's their fault. No, it's our fault. The church needs to be doing the work so there isn't anybody left to run for office except somebody who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if somebody did, he wouldn't have a chance at all, because our general public believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we're not going to support somebody who doesn't believe him, because that means they're Antichrist. I'm not saying they're the Antichrist, but they're against Christ. And we want that person who's against Christ to be our leader.
and lead us to victory. Now, I don't like a whole lot of things that Mr. Trump does. I don't like his language. I don't like his innuendos. I don't like a lot of things he does. I don't even like some of his business practices. But I will tell you this. I've heard at least four or five occasions where he says we're going to win this because we are a nation under God. And I've even heard him say, because our leader is Jesus Christ. I've actually heard him say that in so many words. Now, is he the Messiah? Of course not. Has he got a lot of problems?
Absolutely.
But I will tell you this. He says you want God's blessing, you got to stand up for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, that's not politically correct. He's not getting all everybody else's support because he said that. A lot of people are going to turn their back on him because he dared say they don't want to be connected with him. But greater is he that's in the world than he that is in your heart than he that is in the world. In fact, it says in verse 4 of this area, in this passage, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You might again, not trying to get political on you here, but the fact is, everybody's talking about, well, let's lend hands across the aisle. You can't. One party has certain things on their platform written in black and white, like abortion should be on demand, and we're gonna support an LGBTQ lifestyle. We're gonna do this and do this and do this and do this. And you got this other group that's just diametrically opposed to all that. Well, I'm sorry, we cannot agree because unless we believe the same thing, somebody's gonna have to give in. So they say, well, they don't understand us, and I don't understand them. Right. Because we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. They won't even hear it. They won't have anything to do with it. Because it's totally against their philosophy of life. But we are more than conquerors. If we will always abound and not faint, then our labor will not be in vain. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In other words, when all those things happen, has God left us? No. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know what that said? People have hated Christians all along, ever since the very beginning. Is that you go back to the Garden of Eden. Those who did wrong hated those who did right. Cain killed his brother Abel. Why? Because Abel did right. In fact, the Lord even said to Cain, well, if you had done well, would there have been a problem? He says, the problem is not with Abel doing right. Mr. Cain, your problem is you weren't willing to do right. And you got mad at your brother who did right. And you decided the best thing to do was get rid of the conviction, get rid of the witness against you, and then you think you're going to be all right. So we just kill him. And that is exactly what goes on today. But we are more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now let me give you number three, another principle. Hang tight here. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Galatians 6 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, so of the flesh reap more corruption. You're going to reap corruption, bad stuff. But he that soweth to the Spirit, You're building up the Spirit. Shall the Spirit reap life everlasting? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what that last phrase just said? Just keep abounding. Your work's not in vain. Just keep abounding. The just are not only saved by faith, but we are to live out our lives by faith in our daily decisions. Hebrews 10:38, same area. We're talking about assembling ourselves together. One of the things we're trying to do, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But he shall have no pleasure. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, getting a little ahead of myself here, but some people will abound for a while. And they'll abound for a while. They'll abound for a while. You see where I'm going with this? How many people have done this in their life? But he says you've got to always abounding. Don't stop. You're never going to get there if you keep starting and stopping.
I don't have time to tell this story, but years and years ago, I sang in a gospel group. It was, as they say gospel, you think of black gospel. It wasn't gospel. It was a Christian vocal group that went around to churches and sang. And we needed some PA equipment. There was Miller's Music down toward Randallstown, if I remember right, in Maryland. And I've been down there a couple of times. You go down Reisterstown Road. That was long before the 795 bypass was in, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, go right down through all the little towns and so forth. And I thought I knew where I was going. And you don't have GPS. I didn't have a map. I just thought, I can find this place. And I started down there. And I thought, no, I've been there several times. It doesn't look right. And I turned around and went back up the road. I thought maybe I missed it. No, I know it's south of here. So I headed back down the road again. And I really looked. I went a little further. And I said, this doesn't look right. What in the world? I guess I was probably 16, 17 years old, you know. I said, I must have missed it. So I turned around and I went back down the road there and went a little further this time. And I said, no, I know this is enough of it. So I went back up the road one more time, and I watched and watched and watched. Somehow I missed that thing. And I spent half a day. I never did find it. Went back home. And the fact is, I should have gone just that much further, but I turned around. I turned around. They stopped abounding in the work of the Lord. So people say, well, I abounded and I abounded and I abounded and it never came, so it must be in vain. No, you don't stop abounding. You keep working in that direction. Even if you don't see the results on this side, you'll see it in glory. You'll see it in the lives of people around you down the road. Now, we will reap if we faint not. So, we need, number four, more church in our lives and not less as we see the day approaching. We need more time alone with the Lord. Private prayer and Bible study. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some is. But so much the more as we see a day approaching. What good does going to the church and studying the word do for us? Well, in Ephesians 4, it says this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Watch. For the perfecting or maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry.
You want to abound in the in the work of God, well, then you ought to know what you're supposed to do, whether it's within the context of the ministry or the context of your own life. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edify, or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. The last part's saying this. Well, I don't have this skill. I don't have this skill. I'm not sure. Well, first of all, God will work through you. Secondly is, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the network of the body of Christ. You may not be the preacher, but maybe you have another gift. In fact, the preacher can't come in and keep everything clean, everything ready to go, and so forth and so on. I can't teach all the Sunday school classes. I cannot, this church will not be what it needs to be if everybody's expecting me to do it all. Because literally there's not enough time to do it all. And I don't have all the talents that's needed to do it all. I've said 100 times, this church would not be where it is a lot of times because there's a lot of things my wife does behind the scenes no one even knows about. Do you like this little bulletin here? The Christmas Eve? Yeah, she did that. You like this, the bulletin you got when you come in the morning? Yeah, she did that. You like these Bible reading things here? Yeah, she did that. Didn't charge the church a penny. I mean, I'm patting my wife on the back here. I don't understand. But what I'm saying, we got people all over this building. We couldn't do what we do if you weren't in there doing your part. Always abounding. So we need to be, first of all, abounding in our church, in our effort to be here, but we also need to abound in the Word of God so we are not barren and unfruitful. 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We got it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have it in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And but we can make more and more use of the Holy Spirit and all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, become the new person we're supposed to be, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, watch, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. I mean, when I decide to go to Max and get a milkshake, I'm going to get there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give all diligence to get down there to get that milkshake. And by the way, they make a really nice peanut butter milkshake anyway. But can't get those just any old place. But he says, there's something even better than Max milkshakes. He says, what you need to do, he said, watch. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith in Christ, your salvation, add to virtue, knowledge, temperance, to patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Good enough is not good enough. Well, that's good enough. I'm closer to the Lord. I'm closer than so-and-so. I'm closer probably 85% of the church. And I'm probably closer to the Lord than 85% of the rest of the church there. Well, la-di-da. Well, good for you. But maybe maybe you're in a church that's so dead and their spiritual maturity is way down here and you're 85% here. And listen, you haven't even really begun to walk with him yet. Don't compare yourself with other people. Get to know him yourself. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why?
In John, Jesus said, "Do ye know? Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and let I am not alone, because the Father is within me. These things have I spoken to you, that ye may be, that ye might have peace in the world. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're going to overcome the world, we must be doing more than just the status quo. We've got to be more than just getting by. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" We're not going to win this if you're not willing to put Jesus first. There are many folks who want to overcome the world, and they think they will overcome the world, and yet their whole lives never see the victories that the Lord has promised. Why? Because we must be abounding in faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. It's not worth the hassle. Your labor is not in vain. When we walk in the Spirit, it's not just for ourselves. If we want victory in our lives and also for the world, we're going to have to not only be saved, but abound in the things of the Lord. Now, I cannot abound for a while and then coast for a while, and then when things get tougher, we abound again, then we get up to speed, and then we coast a while because I think it's okay. "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We can't allow the things of the world to distract us. The key to overcoming the world is always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. You're not wasting your time with the extra effort to abound in Christ and not just muddle through life. When we abound in the work of the Lord will do something. But we need to stay steady. We will reap what we sow, and we will reap if we faint not. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And what's prayer? Utter dependence upon God. You're not going to get through, but God can. The one missing element of overcoming the world is that many people stop abounding in the Lord. I know that Jimmy has had a lot of folks go through RU over the years. They come in, they're down bottom, and they just start abounding. Oh, they just grow and grow and grow in the Word of God, and their life starts to make a turn, and things start to change, and you know, things start going good, and they get a job, and they're able to buy a car, and all these kind of things, and all of a sudden, they miss a Friday night. And then it's two. Come back one, and they miss three. And finally, haven't seen them for years. And they show back up at the door. Brother Jimmy. And he says, "Yeah, how you? Oh, bless your heart, brother. Good to see you. How you doing?" "Well, I'm doing." "Pretty close?" "Been having a little issues, I think. I was wondering if you had some time to talk." And they had some good times, but they never saw the victory because they stopped abounding in the Lord.